Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Now, for the last 4 weeks specifically, we have centered our attention around the thought of trademarks of transformation, with the intention and hope that we as believers would be able to better understand or be able to be refreshed in our understanding. How many know sometimes we need to just be refreshed in our understanding? Amen? And so maybe that's the case this morning. We're just being refreshed in our understanding of the necessity for there to be active evidence of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ at work in our daily lives. Again, active evidence of that daily covenant relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, all right? So these trademarks of transformation should be birthed, they should be developed, they should be displayed within our lives as we continually seek to strive for and reflect the character, the nature, and the attributes of our Heavenly Father. How many knows that's the goal, right? To better reflect our Heavenly Father, amen? Again, this is an ongoing process that we kind of within the church world call, it's the process of sanctification, all right? Where we continue to grow spiritually. Everybody say continue. All right. It's not a I got saved and now I'm waiting for heaven. All right. It's a continual process. All right. Of spiritual growth that we do that process in divine grace. Amen. As we remain committed to God through salvation by Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. How many are thankful today that you can say I'm saved? Amen. How many can say, I'm thankful I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and He is at work in my life today? Our scriptural focus for these trademarks of transformation has been based in Romans chapter 12. And we've looked at basically verses 14 through 21. And we have looked at the trademarks so far of love. How many knows we need love? Amen. And then we moved from love and we looked at the trademark of serving. And again, not just serving the Lord, but serving those who are around us, saint and sinner alike. Amen. And then we moved from loving and serving to valuing others, which again, today in the world that we live in, we need that now more than ever for us to understand that to really live as Christ is to value others because they have been made in the image and likeness of God just as we have been made. Amen. And then that led us to generosity. And that is where I would kind of like for us to pick back up again this morning. And I don't want to belabor generosity. I just feel like it wasn't done, all right? And so we looked at generosity last week in a much broader sense than maybe we are most often accustomed to. And we kind of stepped away from that average thought or average truth of generosity just simply revolving primarily around giving or money or monetary things. And we kind of simply expanded that, and we expanded generosity to define it as this, the quality of being kind, understanding, and unselfish. Let me say that again so that we make sure we have it. Generosity is the quality of being kind, unselfish, and understanding. We discovered last week again that generosity is open-handed, meaning that it is charitable or unsparing in that charity or unselfish in that charity. It is open-hearted, meaning that it is unreserved, unregarded, free from dishonesty. We know that generosity has the power to turn a grudge into grace, and we know this morning that generosity also has the ability to generate peace. And how many are glad today that when generosity begins to operate in our lives, it can produce things of that caliber within our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. This morning, I want us to dive a little deeper into the kindness, the understanding, and unselfishness of generosity as we find it in operations here in Romans chapter 12. So I want us to begin this morning in verse 19, all right? Now, listen, I want all of our parents to know that we understand life is different, and I am not offended, and this body is not offended by us having to raise children, okay? Amen? And again, there is, if you need changing tables or a little break, there's a side nursery that we're using just right out those double doors there. And we've got a worker in there ready to help you. But again, please understand that Pastor John is not offended, all right? I love children. As a matter of fact, I got great news last night. My niece Abby and her husband Blake, they are expecting their first child in January. So, all right, we love life, right? Amen. All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. It says, beloved, everybody say beloved. Now we need to understand who that is this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. All right, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, something that I want us to understand, because we're going to kind of dwell on verse 19 this morning, is I do want us to understand that verses 20 and 21 are the results that we can anticipate, or the fruit that we can expect to see be produced in our lives if we get verse 19 right, okay? If we do verse 19 right, we shouldn't have any issue with feeding or giving drink to someone who has offended us or injured us or insulted us or something of that nature, all right? If we're doing verse 19 right, we shouldn't have any problem with verse 21, being able to overcome evil by good, amen? So we need to understand that 20 and 21 become the proof of verse 19 operating in our lives correctly and effectively. So let's pay attention to verse 19 very carefully this morning. My hope and prayer as we begin this morning is this, that we will each set aside any preconceived ideas or false narratives that we may have and fully grab hold of the truth of God's word and live it out to the very best of our ability. Amen? Again, as we mentioned last week, it's not about perfection. It's just about giving our best each and every day. Amen? So how many knows if we can do better, we should do better? Amen? How many knows God gave his best, so we need to give our best, right? Amen. So with that in mind, I want us to think solely on one thought this morning, and that is this, that generosity seeks justice. Generosity seeks justice. Now, it got real quiet, and I don't blame you for it getting real quiet. Justice is a very hot topic, if you will, within the American world and culture right now. And it would seem like every person has their own definition of what justice is and how it should or should not be dispensed. If we were to take a poll this morning, I'm sure that we would come up with many platforms and views on just that one thought alone. What I don't want to do this morning is bring to you my definition of justice. So please understand that what comes after this is not John Kincaid's method or desire of justice necessarily, all right? And I don't want to present anyone else's method or version of justice this morning, because I believe that to do so would inevitably just seemingly heap gas on the fire, and it wouldn't do us any good this morning. Can we all agree on that? You see, but God, what I want to bring forth today is what God has. And so I want us to understand our place within the boundaries of justice as God has defined them and revealed them to us through his word. And then for us, again, to live out that justice accordingly as we strive to express a greater fullness of generosity with our life. How many knows we're called to seek justice? Amen? Now, God has established a very intricate system of justice that extends from earthly civil authorities to his very throne room and many things in between, all right? But what we need to focus on this morning is the fact that he weighs, he measures, he dispenses judgment and justice, and we're not gonna worry about all the in-between right now this morning, okay? Because what I believe God has laid on my heart is for us to look at our part. Everybody say my part. We're not looking at civil authorities this morning. We're not looking at the governmental agencies and structures and personnel. This morning, I want us to take the focus of justice and seeking it, and I want to turn it inward into our own hearts, myself included, this morning. Because when we begin to look at it as doing our own individual part, what happens is we begin to take responsibility according to what God has called us to do. And I want to do that this morning. I want to take responsibility, and I want you to take your responsibility this morning. So to do that, we're actually going to start in the Old Testament with Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. A very probably familiar passage of scripture for most this morning. It says this: "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love kindness and mercy and to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God?" Now, there's a whole lot to chew on in just that simple verse in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. But I just want those three little words where he says, "to do justly." Because that's our focus this morning in way of generosity. And that little phrase, "to do justly," means to make sure that the attributes of justice and righteousness, all right, everybody say justice and righteousness, are at work in us. Not at work in anybody else. We're not worried about that this morning. This morning, what we're worried about is justice and righteousness being at work in our individual lives, in our individual hearts. You see, we need justice active in our hearts to help appropriately make right the wrongs of the past, whether those wrongs were 20 minutes ago, 20 years ago, or 200 years ago. That's what justice is for. It is to help right a wrong that has been done in the past. Can we change history? No, we can't this morning. But we can come in with justice and try to make right that which has been done wrong. Amen? But there's a twofold part to that. And the second thing is righteousness. And we need righteousness active to help us make the future free from wrongs. You see, because righteousness tells us to live a different way. Righteousness tells us to live a better way this morning. Amen? And so we need justice for the past, but we need righteousness for the future. Amos chapter 5 and verse 24 kind of lends itself to that very thought. It says, "Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living." So you see, justice and righteousness this morning, they go hand in hand. They should always be at work together, because there's no way to truly dispense justice if we aren't living righteousness. And there's no way to live righteousness if we want to cut out justice. Now, I know this is a little tough to chew on this morning, and I know maybe coming back into the swing of things and being together, you are hoping for some happy-go-lucky, cheerful messages. Woo! He's going to encourage us like so hard. I am encouraging you right now to make sure that we are seeking justice and that we give that justice away generously this morning. Amen? Romans chapter 12, again, verse 19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves." To avenge in this context means that we take satisfaction for an injury by inflicting punishment on the offender, meaning we dispense justice or we carry out judgment in a way that we feel is suitable or fashionable in that moment. How many of you ever said, "Hey, don't worry, I'll get even"? Oh, they're going to get theirs. Just wait. How many of us, that's not our job this morning? What? All right, let's go. You see, what we need to understand is that here the Apostle Paul is addressing private, individual Christians. He is not addressing the government. He is not addressing any form of government. This morning, we are not addressing any of those things. We are addressing us. You see, it's about the individual Christian. It's about me and it's about you. And the command is to avoid a spirit and a purpose of revenge, or wanting, again, to dispense justice and pass judgment on our own or in our own way. And I know that may be not a very popular message this morning, but I think it is a needed message this morning. So I want us to understand that this command is not to be so understood that we may not seek for justice in a regular and proper way before civil authorities. Again, if you move on to Romans chapter 13, you see that God has instituted these things for a reason. Now, do those things get broken sometimes? Yes, because people are people, right? But we have to know that there are things set in order and that we are not without being able to seek for justice and take those proper avenues and channels. If we are assaulted, endangered, wronged, oppressed, contrary to what we would call the law of the land, if you will, the Word of God does not require us to submit to such oppression and injury without seeking our rights in an orderly and established manner. How many are thankful that God desires justice? Amen? So I don't want us to walk away thinking that we have to be doormats if we call ourselves Christians, because that's not what the Word of God declares to us this morning. You see, if that were the case, if we were able to just kind of go and do and dispense at our own ability and in our own reasoning, what would happen is we would eventually give reward to iniquity and we would give expression to wickedness, which would ultimately require us to surrender our rights when becoming a Christian. Ultimately, if those things were really true, we would just have to say, okay, I'm a Christian, now I'm a doormat. But that's not what the Word of God says. And so we need to know what the Word of God says about this. Jesus himself did not surrender his rights when being interrogated by the high priest, as we find in John chapter 18 and verse 23. Jesus replied, "If my words are evil, then prove it. But if I haven't broken any laws, then why do you hit me?" He said, "Look, I'm all about you asking questions, but stop hitting me because I haven't given you a reason to hit me. And if I've given you a reason to hit me, prove it, and then we'll talk about it." You see, Paul goes on to say in Acts chapter 16 and verse 37, he says, "But Paul told the officers, 'Look, they had us beaten in public without a fair trial, and we are Roman citizens. Do you think that we're just going to quietly walk away after they threw us in prison and violated our rights? Absolutely not. You go back and tell the magistrates that they need to come down here themselves and escort us out.'" How many knows it's okay to seek for justice and to live within your rights? That is okay for us this morning. You see, the command here, however, when we go back to Romans chapter 12 and 19, is not to avenge ourselves. That doesn't mean, again, that we cannot seek for justice. But what it does mean this morning is that we are not to take justice out of the hands of God or out of the hands of the law that has been established and try to inflict it ourselves. Come on now, that's the Word, guys. That's not John Kincaid this morning. That's just the Word. And if we're going to call ourselves Christians, meaning that we are disciples and followers of Christ, we need to follow the Word. If your opinion is outside of the Word this morning, I would persuade you to make your opinion match the Word this morning. You see, this means that as followers of Christ, when possible, we are to seek the control, the influence, the dominion of the law, if you will. And in moments or times that do not admit or require the interference of the law, such as in, again, private individual issues and or disputes, it demands that we bear the injury or offense with patience and commit our cause to God. It doesn't mean that we just have to completely let it go and say, "I'm a doormat." What it means is that we in that moment have to, with patience and understanding, bear that moment until God can make it right in our lives and in their lives. Now, that's hard to do and it's hard to watch at times, but that is what we are called to again this morning. Just as we mentioned last week in relation to how generosity turns a grudge into grace and generates peace, Leviticus 19 and 18 kind of, again, wonderfully sums all of these thoughts up. It says, "You shall not take revenge or bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And how many knows that generosity that seeks justice can be active in our lives and it can grow to a wonderful maturity, but how many knows the root of it really kind of lies in that part about loving your neighbor as yourself? You see, when we genuinely begin to love people as we love ourselves, that does change things. We begin to see things kind of in a different light, or in the light of grace and mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And so that changes us. It transforms us. Instead, we are called to give place unto wrath. And when we read that, if we're not careful, we can be like, hey, that's permission. He said, give place to wrath. All right, that means I do get to do and say what I want to do. I do get to do justice the way that I want to do it. Well, let's back up for just a moment. Because this expression is designed to move and persuade us not to attempt to avenge ourselves, but to leave it with God. Because that very phrase, to give place, it means this, to give the occasion, the opportunity, and the power to act back to God and leave it with Him. It does not mean pick it up and figure it out yourself and do it your way. It means pick it up and hand it over to God and leave it in His more than capable hands. Amen? We are to leave it all. Everybody say all. We are to leave it all in His hands, because as it has already been written, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Did it say vengeance belongs to us? Did it say vengeance belongs to the ones who receive injustice? No, it says vengeance belongs to the Lord. And vengeance here describes judgment, which fully executes the core values and standards of the particular judge, or the one who is in position to judge fairly. How many are thankful that when God judges, He does not judge based on the earth and the world systems? But you see, God judges off of His kingdom system. Amen? And it's not our way, but it's His way, which how many knows is such a better way? Amen? And so this morning, He is the one He's the only one in position to judge truly, fairly, and by a higher standard, if you will. He alone can judge fairly, because He alone this morning is sovereign. He alone is holy and righteous. You see, this morning, He alone is full of unconditional love and forgiveness and mercy and grace and compassion and generosity and goodness and so much more. I would love to tell you this morning that my love and forgiveness and mercy and grace and compassion and generosity and goodness are unconditional, but I fail. In my human nature, I fail. Sometimes in quenching or stifling the Holy Spirit while He's trying to work in my life, I fail. So how many knows this morning we can't do the job right? How many of you have ever been qualified for a job? You're like, I can totally do that. I am qualified. But how many have ever walked into a job and you were not qualified? I do it every week. You see, there's a difference when we're qualified. This morning, He is qualified. And that is why vengeance belongs in His hands and not ours. That is why vengeance belongs in His hands and not ours this morning. This, again, expression implies that it is improper, if you will, for us to interfere with that which belongs to the Lord. When I worked in forestry with my father-in-law, that we had a saying, and it was, don't take my hammer. Because inevitably what would happen is if we were working on a job, and I love my father-in-law, he is an amazing man, Sidney Brown, I love you. But there were times where if you were doing a job and he didn't like the way that you were doing the job, or maybe he just wanted to do it a different way, he would come over and he would, quote, grab your hammer, and he would finish the job, all right? How many knows we don't need to take God's hammer? All right, it's not our job to take His hammer this morning. It's improper. So when we are angry, when we're broken, when we're offended, when we're bitter, when we're resentful or full of hate, and we attempt to avenge ourselves, we should quickly remember that we are infringing not on someone else, but on a sovereign God, and on His job, and on His position, and on His responsibility. So don't take the Lord's hammer this morning. God's promise to His people is this: I will repay. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a chance to repay. He said, I will repay. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 35 speaks to this very thought. It says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive, and their destiny will overtake them. How many knows if hearts choose to be unrepentant, that will catch up to them? Those and many more things. You see, but what God is telling us is to leave it to him, because he will return penalty and vengeance in equal proportion as is equitable and fitting. Only God can truly do that in a fair measure. I was talking to my father about this sermon and things that were in my heart and concerns of how I should present it this morning and how God was speaking it to me and moving in my heart. And he told me a story about a judge that he worked for. When he was in college, he was a court clerk. And so he sat through many court cases. And there was one particular judge that he told me about who was a very kind, very fair man. Dad said most often he was very lenient. He did his best to try to get people to get back on the right track. And so Dad had witnessed this many, many, many times over. And then one evening while he was away from his home was broken into and several things were stolen. And on top of that, they didn't just steal things from the house, but they stole his car. And so Dad said the next day when he came into work and they had found out that all of this had happened, he said it wasn't the same man sitting in the seat that there was the day before, because now anybody who came through and theft was part of the charge that was against them. He literally gave them the harshest punishment possible on all accounts without hearing really any story or having any concern. So how many knows that even when at times we can maybe judge fairly, there are times when we cannot? Because emotions get involved. We take things too personal. We get offended to a degree where it removes our true core sense of justice that would be justice according to the kingdom of God. You see, the assurance that God will repay, it should sustain us. It will sustain us if we allow it. Let me put it that way. But not in the desire that our enemies shall be punished, but in the belief that God will make and take the matter into his own hands and that he can administer what needs to be done better than we can even begin to imagine doing, and that if our enemy ought to be punished, he's going to do it appropriately. Again, it's not like, yes, let me do this kindness thing so I can heap coals of fire on their head. What that really means is that by you continuing to be a man or woman of Christian and Christ-like integrity, by even though the offender has offended you or hurt you or insult you, by you stepping up and feeding them or giving them drink or expressing kindness, what that does is it brings conviction to their heart and it makes them rethink what they have done, potentially bringing them into a better relationship with God. That's what heaping coals of fire on their head really means. It means that conviction sets in and it turns their heart in a different direction. You see, generosity that seeks justice understands that and wants that to transpire. They want the offender to be made right and acceptable and made whole before God. What God is telling us again to do is leave it to him this morning. And if we will leave it to him, this is how generosity that seeks justice begins to work. It does so by striving each day to live a life of justice and righteousness so that we can help do our part. Everybody say, my part. Oh, come on, y'all. My part. It's okay. Y'all ever been in that spot where it's hard, but you know that's what God said? So I'm good this morning. I am sweating, but that's just because I'm still in the process of losing weight, and it's hot in here. We have to live a life of justice and righteousness so that we can help do our part to overcome the wrongs of the past and then simultaneously do our part to help prevent future wrongs from ever transpiring. You want a better world? Be a better person. You want a better culture in our community and across America? Be a better Christian. Well, that's harsh, Pastor John. Well, when I say it, I'm saying it to myself as well. Amen? This morning, we just need to step up to the plate. You see, that is, again, how generosity seeks justice. It also does it by, again, placing justice or vengeance into God's hands, because he is the only one who is capable of enacting punishment in equal proportion as is equitable and fitting. How many knows when it's us, we wanna go to the nth degree and then probably some more? How many are glad that God didn't go to the nth degree with us? But that in his grace, he showed generosity and justice. And where we deserve something much worse, he brought us something much better. You see, if we trust God enough to receive salvation this morning, if we trust God enough to prepare us for and then preserve us through all of what eternity will be, let us also trust him enough to take care of justice and vengeance appropriately this morning and not think for a moment that we could do it better. The truth is, God's justice is always generous. God's justice is always generous. Even when chastisement and punishment are attached to that justice. So I guess the question always comes down to whether or not we are willing to accept his generosity and allow it to be at work in our lives and then allow it to be reflected through us. If you would stand with me this morning. The Lord woke me up, oddly, at 5:19 last Sunday morning. And so I made that I guess my rounds, if you will, and said, okay, Lord, what is it? Because, I mean, I'm talking like setting up out of a dead sleep. And I didn't feel anything that was drawing. I didn't feel anything pressing. I didn't feel like the Holy Spirit was whispering anything to me or putting a specific individual or circumstance on my heart. And so after a few minutes of seeking that and not feeling or hearing anything, I went back to sleep. This morning at 5:19, the Lord woke me straight up out of my sleep again. And I said, God, why 5:19? I said, I don't understand. You did this last week and you didn't tell me anything. And so right now, you've woke me up again, and I very much realize it's 5:19. Why 5:19? And so I thought for a minute, and that was a significant birthday of someone that I knew. So I thought, I prayed for that individual. Thought maybe they were in distress or trouble or something. And it's kind of like the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not it. You're not listening. And so I said, okay, what does it mean? And he said, I want you to go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Which I thought was weird, being 5:19, and thought for a moment, that's just you. You're being really weird this morning. But as weird as it was, the longer that I looked at that scripture, the more I believed that my eyes became open and it began to make sense to me. Because Romans chapter 5:19 says this, one man's disobedience opened the door for all of humanity to become sinners. But here's the good news. So also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. People do the wrong thing every day. We cannot change or help that in many ways. But we can be people who choose obedience and do the right thing. Amen? You see, justice would be that we all get what we deserve as sinners. That would be true, holy, sovereign, righteous justice would be for all of us, even sitting here in this very sanctuary this morning, to get what we actually deserved. Because how many know we've all fallen short of the glory of God? We don't deserve his grace and his love and compassion and forgiveness and generosity and goodness and faithfulness. But yet he has chosen to give that to us because he is generous. And when he is generous in all things. So the generosity of God also proves itself in justice. And that proved its way through Jesus Christ this morning so that we could be made right with our Heavenly Father. You see, Jesus could have simply said in that meeting that I'm sure they had, wait a minute, you want me to free them from their sin and disobedience through my sacrifice and obedience? No way, you've got to be kidding me. Let's rethink this. Can we get a fresh think team? Because this is not the way that I want to do this. But instead, he came knowing that he would have to be obedient even unto death. And he did that so that justice could most appropriately be measured to me and to you this morning, but beyond that, to all of humanity today. So in the same way, we need to live in obedience to God through the power, the truth, the instruction of His Word, as we strive to live a life of generosity that seeks justice by obediently living out justice and righteousness to the best of our ability each day, and then leaving the rest into God's hands. That is what we're called to do. And today, I think that we need to shift our focus from expecting justice and righteousness to come from a source where it can't be produced. And let's allow God to begin to use us as that source of justice and righteousness. Because I believe that if our obedience leads others closer to Him, that we must understand then that our disobedience draws people away from Him. I don't know about you. I don't want to be guilty of drawing others away from Christ. I want to be guilty of drawing them to Christ this morning. Amen. I want to be guilty of exhibiting generosity that seeks justice and lives in righteousness to the very best of my ability every day of my life. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, I pray that your word has broken every untruth, every false narrative, and God, that it has brought us to a place where we can understand the value this morning of generosity in a greater way. God, that it can, Lord, turn a grudge into grace. God, that it can generate peace in the midst of chaos. And God, that it can seek justice. God, help us to do that this morning. Help us to live a life of justice and righteousness before you and before man. God, that in our obedience to your word, others, God, would come to know you, surrender their heart to you, and live for you. Father, I ask that in Jesus' name this morning. This morning, I know that we're not supposed to crowd and do all of those things, and so I want to be compliant with that. Here's what I want us to do this morning. If you want to be that individual, if you want to be the one who does their very best every day to strive to live in justice and righteousness, and to where things go beyond our control, surrender those things to God appropriately so that we can be that reflection of God's word. I just want you this morning to just raise your hands with me. And I want us to pray corporately together that we, as a body of faith, as a church located in Madisonville, Kentucky, as individual hearts and homes within this county and surrounding areas, that we're going to be that thing for this moment. If you believe that God can do that in your life and strengthen you and empower you, I want you to raise your hands and I want us to pray together this morning. Pray for yourself and pray for your neighbor this morning. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we do believe your word, God, in its entirety. Lord, from front to back, holistically, we believe it is complete, and God, it brings everything that we need in perfect measure. So God, help us to be hungry for your word today. God, help us to digest this very word today. And God, help us to be people who will, Lord, not only seek justice, but God, that we will live in justice and righteousness, Lord, to the very best of our ability. God, that the world around us right now that is so desperate, Lord, to see a true pattern of justice, God, will see it in our hearts and lives. God, that reflection of the truth of your word, God, the reflection of the power that truth can bring and the transformation that it can bring. So God, help us to be those men and women. God, help us to be the ones who stand up and allow generosity to seek justice in our lives and for the lives of others at all times. And God, help us in those moments where it goes beyond our control, beyond our ability. God, help us to be men and women of faith who are going to say, God, it is in your control, it is in your time, and we believe you're going to do it right. And God, help us then to walk away in peace, knowing that you always, always, always fulfill your promises. God, empower your church today, I pray, and let generosity seek justice. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Let's just give God praise for that this morning. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've played the role or the life of the prodigal, and this morning you just feel him drawing you back. I do want to invite you to come forward and let us pray with you this morning. And whether it's the first time or the 40th time, I believe this morning that he is willing to welcome you back, wash you clean, and begin to transform your life again and again and again. So this morning, as they begin to sing, if that's you, I want you to come forward. If you have special need of prayer for any other thing in your life you may be battling, and you just simply want agreement in prayer this morning, come forward and let's agree that God is going to move on behalf of your need today.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.